D1, number 20A.
I'm sorry, really, that somehow my words were inadequate to convey the bigness of that Christianity descent. You know, it's tremendous. Actually, Christianity has its focal point on the idea of man. And if we like to experience man, what can we do? In consciousness, we can see on the plane of divine science that one all-encircling love, which means at that point one universe, one spiritual world, perhaps symbolized, filled, peopled with ideas, if you like, but it's one. But that one universe is not a static universe. It's a universe that is to itself father and mother, life and love. Namely, that it says, as life, I'm constantly being that universe. And I'm expressing myself constantly as one universe of ideas. And love says, and this universe of ideas I keep protected, I keep intact, so that nothing goes lost of it. But what is that which that life and love is expressing? It is the generic term man, namely, that it says there doesn't exist anything but that which the father, life, expresses and the mother protects. What is it? It's pure idea. And we come to the Christianity which shows the purity of the idea man. And purity means that it has no foreign element. That's the definition of purity. Meaning that man has no foreign element but that which life gives and which love retains. So one sees that one finds the true sense of man, of generic man, really, by considering life and love. Because life is expressing the whole Christianity order and says, yes, I'm life. I am the father. What father? I'm the father of ideas. Because principle has only ideas. And these, so I come to the Christianity order, and this principle has only ideas, and these ideas are all ideas. All ideas are mine ideas. And therefore all ideas as soul are compound together in one big interest, reflecting each other in spirit infinitely as the expression of being, of life, truth, and love. And love obtaining, love retaining that expression by saying, in the reversed order of Christianity, retaining that and say, all right, I am what I am. I'm the expression of life, truth, and love, and nothing else can take that away, because man is really the reflection of spirit and the image and likeness of soul and the full manifestation of mind. And that brings us back to principle again. Pray about it. I don't think one can really convey what one feels so much, but I think one can give the method of it and see what it means. see, so that one doesn't feel that these three levels are distinct, separated levels. They are distinct from one another, but they are not separate. They melt into one another. And each level takes its source from the preceding level. Well, let's go to science vertically. That's a very big sense. Science explains. What has science to explain? On the plane of divine science, principle love. Why principle love? Why not just principle? Yes, on the plane of divine science, we perceive that there is only one principle going on. But it is a divine principle, not just not the infinite principle, but the divine principle. And because it's divine principle, that principle must be love. That means that divine principle must have a purpose, must make sense. Today, most principles which are investigated in ordinary science don't make sense at the end. They destroy the whole human family. That's at the end of everything. So they don't make sense. But in divine science, we see that only that principle operates which has purpose, love. And so we can see, all right, all that there is going on is that principle which works out the ends of eternal good, love. Is that working out the ends of eternal good something which happens in time? And I ask a question which applies to the human level, and I come to the absolute Christian science where it shows no, has nothing to do with time. So the term life is left out. The term life, which would deal with the question of time and creation and so on, is left out. But says no, that divine principle love which is operating for the ends of eternal good is operating for the eternal goods just right as a fact, not as something which is to be attained in the future. It's not telefinalistic as evolution is. It doesn't bring out perfection in the future, in the far-off end, but it says, truth and love, it says, they are facts which are already now here complete, or facts which are completely adapted in its perfection to every stage. So that perfection is not something which is at the end of a development, but perfection is always perfection in every fact. So the facts, truth, are already complete love. If these facts are already complete, then thought goes to the plane of Christian science and says, what are these facts which are already complete? You see, on the plane of Christian science, we have the reasoning out on or through human reasons why they are what they are. And so the candlestick there says that really truth and love are the principle of being. Mrs. Eddy uses that combination very often, that truth and love are the principle. Because here she shows that the facts of being which are complete are operating as one infinite principle. And the science order, as we had before, explains that these facts which are complete are really identified concepts of being, soul and life. And that these identified concepts of being, which we may call the ideas of being, that they operate infinitely and bring out new forms, new calculations, new truths, new discoveries, spirit and truth. But they bring it out because they are impelled by principle love. They bring it out, these new truths, adapted to the human situation, mind and love. And so show that this divine principle love is operating even in on the human plane as the one principle. Lots of food for thought for all the quiet evenings. And as one ponders them and loves them, they lose a sense of being abstract, and they become warm, natural, practical. And the more one sees them, the more they become the basis of treatment and of giving a treatment. I have another quarter of an hour, and I turn over another 50 pages of my notes. And I would like to show, just out of the whole chart, take out of the whole chart, just one example and elaborate on this a little bit. The easiest we can do is to take in the vertical the word and consider how we can for ourselves, when we know the term, the synonymous terms, when we know the levels, how we can individually be creative scientists. That is, how we can ponder them in a new way, and always new way, and an enlarged way, and an embellished way, so that they become warm and near and tender to us. For instance, 20 years ago, Mr. Dawley showed us the relationship between life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science, with mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love in Christian Science. He showed that with the biblical text of the Gospel of Matthew, where he showed that behind the whole story of Matthew, which is built up in the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the impelling power for that order is life, truth, and love in absolute Christian Science. Now, this is not just one example that once happened and never happens again. It is a principle fact. And it's that fact which I would like perhaps to elaborate a bit. Not by referring to the text of Matthew, that was just one symbolization of this fundamental law, but we can lift it right out of the biblical symbolization and elaborate it in the way we need it today and always knew. How? Mrs. Eddy said, in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ signs, or the divine laws of life, truth, and love. The word in absolute Christian Science. The word in absolute Christian Science says in life, I am the infinite impulsion. Truth says, and that which that infinite impulsion brings forth is a fact, a divine fact. It's factual. And that fact which is brought forth by that impulsion of life is complete, fulfilled, love. So, if you open your ears for the spiritual tune of that mighty sense of life, truth and love, ever going on, the divine practitioner, the divine motivator of being, which always says constantly, every moment, life expresses itself. It expresses itself as the facts of being, and these facts of being are always complete and whole. Love. Then, when we hear that, then we can say, all right, if that is the thinking subject, the divine practitioner, the divine motivator, whatever we may call it, if life, truth, and love is the practitioner, then life, truth, and love say constantly, I am mind, I am spirit, I am soul, I am principle, I am life, I am truth. In other words, now listen, in other words, life, truth, and love say, I am my own mind. I am my own spirit. See, now the I is life, truth, and love. I am my own mind. Life, truth, and love says, I am my own mind. I am my own spirit. I am my own soul. I am my own principle. I am my own life. I am my own truth. I am my own love. Life, truth, and love says that. No more we thinking, God is mind, God is spirit, God is soul, God is principle, God is life, God is truth, God is love. Now, we have caught something of that seventh day of the I, and we need to realize that it is life, truth, and love which say constantly, I am mind. I am my own mind. Now, life, truth, and love is its own mind, its own spirit. Therefore, life, truth, and love is its own law of thinking, or its own law of knowing. Life, truth, and love is its own order of development. Now, when I have seen that, see, that I don't have to go up and see, oh yes, God is mind, God is spirit, but when I see the descent of that eternal person of God as life, truth, and love, saying, I am my own mind, then I can go further in my consciousness and see that Mrs. Eddy then said, after she had discovered the laws of life, truth, and love, that she said that this principle indicates Emmanuel, or God with us. And I come to the realization that I say, oh, is that so? That life, truth, and love is my mind. Now, life, truth, and love is now my spirit. Life, truth, and love is now my soul, my principle, my life, my truth, my love. This is naturally something quite different in consciousness than if I just say, well, God is mind, or God is my mind. As long as I think God is my mind, it's very fine, Then I say I have no mind of my own. The mind which I have is the mind which is God. I have no other mind but that mind which is God. Fine. So there is only one mind, and that's God. I look at it. I clarify it. But when I have the descent of it, I see, life, the impulsion, truth, the fact, love, the fulfillment, says, that's my mind. I begin to see life, truth, and love, that operation of that constant impulsion of life which goes on by itself, of truth which is establishing always the right idea, love which is always fulfilling that right idea in its right way, is my mind. I have no other mind but the eternal operation of life, truth, and love. I have no other spirit or unfoldment or ordered unfoldment but the impulsion of life, truth, and love. So that life, truth, and love is my spirit, my unfoldment. That life, truth, and love is that which is my identification, is my resurrection. Life, truth, and love is my principle. Therefore, life, truth, and love operates me. It's not just principle which I see is operating. I have the impulsion now of absolute Christian science of life, truth, and love, which says, I operate your principle. Therefore, you are operated. My being is operated, not by principle, but by the impulsion of life, truth, and love through principle. Life, truth, and love is my life, is my truth, is my love. Just think about that in a quiet moment, what it can mean. It will come to each one individually. Naturally, that's only Emmanuel, God with me, God with us. And so I go naturally further and say, all right, then life, truth, and love is really the mind of all. Therefore, instead of seeing, say, on the level just of Christian science, say, in a case of a treatment where perhaps, say, well, there was influenza, perhaps on the level of Christian science, we would say, oh, influenza, well, there is only one influence, and that's the mind, the one mind. And perhaps we would treat to see that there is only one mind, one influence, that that influence is good, that it is the action of health and of holiness, that that influence is an influence which makes us immune against every other influence, overcomes every other influence, and so on. But what a difference if we lift it up and see that life, truth, and love is the mind, is the influence of everything. That life, truth, and love is the law of influence to everything. Then I begin to see that life, truth, and love as mind is the law of our thought, of our mind. That life, truth, and love impels by itself the right thoughts of mind. And that life, truth, and love, through that impulsion of the one mind, wipes out, now I come to a further sense, wipes out all the false thoughts, all the false influences, all the false actions and surroundings and mental atmosphere and so on. See the difference? How the power seems to be brought or related back to the one practitioner, the person of God, to life, truth, and love.